Yes.
Thank you. It looks like our resonance is done. Okay, wonderful. It's 11:30. I'm Lindy Marshall, the chair of the Airport Commission, and we're going to call our board meeting on September 16th to order. Thank you all for being here today. Let's kick off our meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance. Give you all a moment. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all very much. It looks like we have quorum today. We have Commissioner Quint Scheer, Commissioner West, myself, Commissioner Kleinman, Commissioner Davis in attendance in person. Did I see that Commissioner Kennedy is joining us virtually? He's so good about his note taker that I'm just not. Wonderful.
Hey, Lindy, I am on. I have a noon appointment, but I thought I would at least be I would be present virtually for as much of the meeting as I can be.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. We're always glad to have you and appreciate that.
Thank you.
And then I know Commissioner Dan Meyer could not be here today. He's traveling for a banking conference. In terms of airport team, Victoria, do you want to introduce or have everyone else introduce themselves? Whatever you just want to do.
Online, we have our CEO, Angela Padalecki, our Director of Finance and Admin, Sarah Mangi, myself, HR Manager and Board Clerk, Victoria Hightower, Director of Facilities, Ben Tech, Finance Manager, Jennifer Croker, Finance Specialist, Travis Portner, Terminal Operations Manager, Cameron Reese, and then our Office Coordinator, Christina Warren.
Well done. Perfect. We didn't miss anyone there. We have Dan Reamer, too. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. So I just need an approval of the agenda as it sits. Perfect. Thank you. Perfect. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Any commissioner comments today? Do we have any? Okay, good. I do have one, as you know. But does anyone else have anything before I jump in? Okay, wonderful. Ryan, thank you for being here today. The airport wants to recognize Ryan Dolan, who is Enterprise Rental Car Area Manager. Ryan is joined today, I think, maybe by Steve Delaney online. Was he able to make it?
Well, he's at the corporate visitors.
Okay.
I'm going to just represent.
We're so glad to have you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ryan ranked number two in all performance and out of almost 800 area managers across North America. He ranked number one in customer service in Colorado and tied fourth in North America. We are so thrilled to have you here today representing that. That's a big deal. There's other rankings here listed if you don't mind if I keep bragging on you. In terms of employee retention, second in Colorado and 52nd in North America. In terms of growth, you all have more cars on rent this fiscal year than last, which sounds like we're first in Colorado and 17th in North America.
13.1% growth is that.
That's phenomenal. And then in terms of revenue, number one in Colorado and 29th in North America.
Doing the game, so yeah, 242 per car.
That's not bad at all.
It's been a well balanced effort. You know, it's not just me, it's my team across the mountain territory. A lot to do with airports, especially in close air transaction. Great partnership, allowing us to grow as a business and the team provide opportunity to more people in this community, bring them on board. So, I just really wanted to say thank you to everyone here as well.
Thank you. Thank you for carving out time to be here. We really appreciate it. From the airport perspective, Angela or Sarah, would you guys like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think just maybe some context too. Enterprise represents about 45% of our business here at the airport. They've been really the leader in our market share for a while and just a great partner to work with. We have some other managers that have had it easy to work with, so thank you, Ryan. We really appreciate your partnership here.
I'm not having too long.
Well, if you're getting rankings like that, you're probably not about it. Congratulations.
We don't want to see that, but we'll cheer for you if you do. Angela, do you want to add anything at all online?
Sure. I just want to echo the congratulations and express my gratitude. You know, rental cars are such an important part of airports. It's been even more pronounced since the pandemic. There's so many airports that don't have access to enough rental cars and even in air service development discussions with airlines, they almost always bring up rental car access and availability when we're discussing growth at the airport. And so thank you for just being such good partners. Rental cars, knock on wood, is not one of the business lines that we hear very much from the public on, which is good. To quote Ryan's boss, if they're doing their job well, we don't hear from them. And that's kind of how it works at the airport. You know, the rental cars, they kind of do their own thing and we're here to support them. But overall, we're just so grateful for the partnership and excited that we get to recognize you. Congratulations again.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan, for being here. You are welcome to step out at any time. You don't have to stay for the rest of our board meeting, but please enjoy some pizza and stay as long as you want. Anything else, commissioners, to add? Do we have any citizen comments today?
I did not receive any.
Okay, wonderful. All right, then we move on to our consent agenda. Yeah, looks like it's pretty straightforward here. I'd need a motion to approve consent as it stands.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner West.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Perfect. Consent agenda passes. Colin, we are excited to have you continue your work with the airport.
Thank you.
Yeah, a great partnership there too. All right, in terms of action today, we have our 2024 audit acceptance. We have a couple, it looks like, members of our audit committee. Commissioner West is on that finance and audit. And then Sarah, are you going to present that today, or are partners with the audit team going to present?
Actually, Plant Moran's going to present their findings in their audit, and then Chris and I can close with maybe a couple words afterwards if that works.
Great, thank you.
All right, great. Well, thank you, everyone. I'm Lisa Meacham, audit partner with Plant Moran, and joining me is Ramzi Abdallah, who is also a partner at Plant Moran, and we're here to give you a high-level overview of the audit. We did have a chance to meet with the audit committee last week and went through things in more detail, so this is definitely, you know, at a summarized level, but if you have any questions for us, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you. I wasn't sure if I need to tell you to change slides or if you'll just know. So there's really two pieces of information that we'll be going through today. One is required communication between us as the auditors and you all as the entity that's really charged with governance over the airport. And then we'll go through some highlights on the actual financial statements, the results of the financial statements. So as part of our communications, we do express an unmodified or clean audit opinion on the financial statements. We did not identify any material weaknesses in the internal control over financial reporting. As part of our audit, we gain an understanding of that in order to design our audit procedures. And if we identify anything, we're required to communicate that to you in writing. We also performed two compliance-based audits over the airport improvement program and the passenger facility charges. And so we did not identify any findings to report under the uniform grant guidance, which is what covers the airport improvement program, and no findings to report over the passenger facility charge audit. We also had no difficulties, disagreements, or other findings or concerning items to communicate to the board. And then we do confirm that we are independent of the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority and in compliance with the Colorado State Board of Accountancy rules, the AICPA Code of Professional Conduct, as well as the government auditing standards independence requirements. Ramzi will talk through some of the financial highlights, and then we can open it up for any questions.
Thank you, Lisa. So just to take a few minutes to go over some of the financial results included in your 2024 financial statements, the statement of net position or your balance sheet shows total assets and deferred outflows increased by $17 million during the current year. And that's primarily due to $25.8 million in capital asset additions. As you'll see in the next slide, most of that is funded really through AIP grants for the runway replacement program. Cash decreased by $6.1 million, and that was driven by $10.1 million that was spent in the capital and financing portion of the statements. And that was partially offset by $2.7 million of cash contributed from operating inflows. Current liabilities dropped by $3.1 million. So along with the decrease in cash and decrease in current liabilities, that's mainly due to the timing of some of those larger capital-related invoices and payments. And overall, the net position of the authority increased by $22 million. And again, that's largely due to the federal grant funding towards those contributed capital assets. So on the next slide, we take a look at the income statement. So operating income before depreciation was $2.6 million. So that's a slight decrease of $0.2 million from last year. Depreciation expense was $6.2 million, and this has been increasing, but that is consistent with what we would expect given more assets being placed into service. Aeronautical revenue remained stable at $3.1 million, while non-aeronautical revenue increased by $5.3 million. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation, totaled $6 million. And again, as we noted on the last slide, your total change in net position was $21.6 million, and really a lot of that was aided with $22.7 million in capital contributions from AIP and other grants. On the next slide, we present the accounting pronouncements that the authority has adopted this year and some that will be upcoming in the next couple of years. During the current year, the authority did adopt GASB Statement 101. Now, this is the latest GASB standard, and this requires this updates the accounting for compensated absences, so including sick time and vacation time. This ultimately was determined to not have an impact on your financial statement. So really, while the authority did adopt the standard, it didn't result in an actual change in the way that you account for your sick and vacation time. In terms of the upcoming accounting pronouncements, there are three on the horizon right now. GASB 102, which is going to be due next year, requires disclosure of risks from concentrations and constraints. GASB 103 updates the financial reporting model, including the management's discussion and analysis. And then GASB 104 requires certain disclosures of capital assets to be presented differently, and that's going to be effective for 2026. And then lastly, also included on the slide, we did want to just point out again that the schedule of expenditures of federal awards that's included in your financial statements. And that shows essentially how much you spent, how much federal grant dollars you spent during the current year. And that was $22 million. And as Lisa stated, that was subject to our federal award single audit, with which we have issued an unmodified and clean opinion. So really, that concludes the highlights that we wanted to cover in the financial statements, but happy to address any questions or cover anything else included in there.
I just have a quick question, Ramsey, about GASB 102. Could you just tell me what that means in normal people speak, non-accounting speak?
Yeah, so essentially the risks of if there are upcoming changes or concentration, like I guess let's put it this way, if there are constraints that are known in the financial statements that could impact the financial statements, those are required to be disclosed if they could have an impact on the financial statements for the upcoming 12 months. And I'm sorry, I think that there's the wrong text up there. It says accounting changes and error corrections, but that's actually GASB 100. So I'm sorry about that. We can provide the correct language for GASB 102, but if there are concentrations or constraints that are known as of the financial statement date that could have an impact the next 12 months, those are required to be disclosed. An example of that is, for example, at an airport, if there is a potential a pilot shortage or a pilot strike that could impact the authority's ability to operate and function as an airport, that could be a potential constraint that would be required to be disclosed.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ramsey? Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you to Lisa and Ramsey being patient with me, getting reacquainted starting in February after the year had ended, and some new GASBs being passed in my time away from the airport and getting caught up. So just wanted to say thank you to their team. There is a lot there with our grant programs and everything else. We did have an opportunity to go through a few other recommendations that were, they didn't rise to the level of findings, but we talked about those with the audit, finance and audit committee. And Jennifer and Travis have been working in the system to better be able to document some of our review procedures and just kind of improve some of those pieces that, again, didn't rise to the level of findings or recommendations for improvement. So we're working through those. The audit committee did recommend approval, and I won't speak for Chris, but.
Yeah, as chair of the audit committee and finance committee, we had a good meeting last week with Rumsey, with Lisa, and I got to ask our questions, got to review the financials, got to discuss with the audit team and from Plant Moran, and recommend to the board that we approve the audit.
Any other questions? Yeah, we appreciate your time, you all. Thank you so much for investing in the airport and working with our team. Sarah, thanks for your time on this. I know it's not just Sarah. I think there are a lot of people behind this audit lift. So thank you to the finance team for all of your work on this. Did you have a question, Quint?
I was just going to say congratulations in order to have such a clean audit. Mm-hmm. Not all organizations have audits come out like that, and so congratulations.
Thank you to Jennifer and Travis, and Ben gets to wrangle IT. It really is a team effort, so thank you to everybody on my team that helped me.
Quint, thanks for that call out. We're spoiled. We've, you know, since I've served on this board, there's been clean audits, and so thank you for...
on some organizations,
thank you.
The audits are not that clean. That's not a bad thing, but it means you guys are ahead of it.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Okay. I will take a motion to approve the 2024 audit.
Salute.
Perfect. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Perfect. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Then we are... Thank you very much. We appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, then we're moving on to staff reports. I know we have Angela on the line. Angela, take it away for the CEO report.
Great. And sorry I can't be there in person with everyone. I am under the weather and so keeping my germs to myself. So let me make sure I can see this clearly.
Thank you, Ryan.
I wanted to just cover a little bit of air service stuff since we've been pressed for time lately and haven't gone over much air service. Good news still, 2025 is a record capacity year. So this is the most capacity we've ever seen in the market. Again, capacity we measure in the number of scheduled seats in the market. As the board may recall, as part of our goals for this year, we set a goal of a 5% increase in scheduled seats. I will say that that was against Harrison's recommendation. Harrison was not optimistic we'd be able to hit that goal, yet here we are, 2025, we're up 6% in scheduled seats. Our loads are also up year over year, and so that's why we're seeing such big passenger numbers, but we're really excited about this capacity growth we're seeing. Next slide. So as I mentioned, flights are even more full than they've been. So what you see on this graph, this is not a medical chart. This is a graph that we use to illustrate roughly what load factors are. So this is actually TSA throughput per scheduled seat. So those people going through the checkpoint divided by the number of scheduled seats in the market. This data is available on just a couple day lag instead of a multi-month lag like most of our air service data. And so 2025 is what you see in the light blue. And you can see that this summer has been an extremely good summer when it comes to the loads that we've seen in the market. Some of that is we don't have Allegiant service this year like we did last year. In the summer, they had both LAX service and Las Vegas service. And those planes are just really big. And so they were not as full as we're seeing the Breeze flights along with the Delta service being back and, you know, just the air service we have right now is in really good, healthy shape. And that is consistent with what we're hearing from the airline network planners as well. I went last week and met with Breeze. They're extremely happy with the service here in Grand Junction. They will not be taking a break this year on any of the routes. As the board remembers last year, Breeze chose to take kind of the winter ski season off in our market. They are not doing that this year. They'll stay in the market. Next slide. Our catchment data shows that our leakage remains very low. So I know that this is a busy chart, but I just like to zoom out and get to look way far back in time. So if you look, and to remind everyone, we used to have pre-pandemic, we had a big problem with leakage of all the passengers who traveled to and from Mesa County. We leaked a tremendous portion to Denver, about half. In the pandemic, people stopped traveling. Then when they resumed travel, we did not have that leakage to Denver problem. Now what we see is we have leakage to the ski resort airports during ski season when they have a big spike in their air service. And in 2025, we saw in the first quarter, and that's where we usually see that spike in leakage that, you know, you see on the chart every year. First, I want to point out that's the most demand we've seen for travel to and from Mesa County post-pandemic in the first quarter. And then our leakage actually went down this year compared to last year in the first quarter. So we're really, really happy with how leakage is looking. Please interrupt me, ask questions. I can't see the room very well, so.
The leakage chart doesn't indicate that it's less than.
Sorry, I think that's Lee, but I can't hear the question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think we're really looking at the first quarter here.
Oh, quarter.
Quarter over quarter. Because that's where that trend is the highest.
Got it. So,
good question.
Yep. Sounds like we got that question answered.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. United's been driving the growth, but this year, you know, we continue to see United grow some, but American also to DFW is growing. Thanks, Lee and Quint, for all your travel. But what we're seeing is that they've increased frequency to that DFW hub. That's really valuable for our travelers. That's valuable from a fare perspective, we think, as well. DFW provides good competition to United's hub in Denver. Now, on the flip side, American has shrunk the number of flights they're providing to Phoenix. Now, Phoenix grew several years in a row, the Grand Junction to Phoenix service. And part of that growth was actually driven by Delta's exit from the market as our only Western hub that we had service to. And so I'm sure that's a factor in the Phoenix service. But American's actually been pulling back in Phoenix quite a bit. Overall for the year, they're almost flat. I think they're slightly up at 1% in scheduled seats. But it's been during certain periods, they're way down. In certain periods, you know, they have a little bit more growth. But really, it's just because we're at 2 to 3 flights a day that our numbers look more pronounced in that 12% fewer seats. In 2024, we saw 3 to 4 flights per day to Phoenix. And in 2025, we've seen 2 to 3 consistently. So we still have good service, but that's how things are looking overall. It's nice to have healthy service to several hubs. We do think that that's a factor in maintaining competitive fares in the market, which anecdotally we're seeing, but that data is available on a tremendous lag. And so over the course of the next 6 months or so, we'll have a better understanding of what fares look like in the early summer and peak summer travel season, but we don't have that yet. Next slide. Just to give a snapshot, looking at the region as a whole for October, we are the only airport in the region with 4 airlines in October. This is normal. October is a shoulder season in aviation and certainly in this region with the ski resorts. But for us, October is our busiest month of the year, typically. The airlines love that because they don't have a lot of places that peak in October. So it's convenient for all of us. So you can see our capacity is up 10% this October. That is due to a bump in frequency on a few routes, obviously the Delta service, and then upgauging on many of our routes. Next slide. We look at January, which is really where peak ski season starts. And January is close enough to where we feel pretty confident in these schedules. You can see
We are up again 12% this January. We're really happy with what we're seeing in the numbers, and the airlines have reported they're happy with performance. And you can see that we're on par with a lot of the other airports in the region. We hear a lot about Montrose and ski season and the availability there. You know, Montrose averages just over 10 flights per day. My guess is there's not one day in January where they have 10 flights. They either have fewer than 10 flights or way more than 10 flights because their schedules really cater to a inbound leisure market. But, you know, you see overall, we do expect to serve to have more departures per day than them on average. They're up slightly in January. That's following a substantial reduction the last couple of years. I think in January of this year, so January of 2025, Montrose capacity was down almost 15%. And this is going back to something we've talked about quite a bit, and that's Southwest with their new union contract signed last year. They just have more flexibility with their schedules to offer less than daily service to different destinations. And that works really well in the ski market. So that shows up in Hayden and Montrose. So they saw pretty big cuts last year, and now we're seeing them get back on a growth path there. Any questions about this? One thing I want to point out, and appreciated the article in the Sentinel this week about diversions. Big thanks to Quint for speaking of the newspaper from a pilot's perspective about Aspen. But I want to talk about Aspen, just a couple of things about Aspen. First, Aspen has traditionally been served by CRJ 700s. Most of the CRJ 700s that are still flown by the legacy carriers are actually flown into and out of Aspen. That's the main reason they still have them. And that is due to technical elements when it comes to the flying there. It's just a tricky airport, and the way their runway is set up and their airfield is configured makes it just adds to the complexity. United started flying Embraer 175s there last year, and Delta has announced they will fly E175s there this winter as well. So there's just a lot of changes going on in Aspen. That aircraft type offers much better customer experience and multi-cabin classes, which is pretty important to premium travelers, of which there are many in Aspen. So wanted to make sure I brought that up just because that that air service landscape in Aspen hasn't changed much in a long, long time, with the CRJ-7s being the only aircraft up there. And so since that's changing, wanted you to know. And then second, you know, we continue to see in the news and talk to our colleagues about the planned runway project up in Aspen. I don't have news to report on that, nor would I, not our place, but I do want to make sure the board knows that we're keeping a close watch on that, that right now it looks like they could start construction as early as 2027, 2028. And their runway construction would require some closures, probably some substantial closures that would impact our airport, and we'd likely see an uptick in passenger traffic. So more than anything, I want the board to know that we are on top of that. We're working with our colleagues up in Aspen and working in partnership with airlines to make sure passenger needs can be met. And we'll certainly keep everyone informed as they make progress on this project. Next slide. So as we're feeling confident in the 2025 schedule, we are hopeful that our load factors will hold like they've been, and we will serve more than 600,000 passengers this year, which was our goal. And as we look to 2026, we expect another strong year. So we're in that season where we're meeting with airlines to talk about growth in Grand Junction. And we expect airlines will continue to grow in Grand Junction. We want to get American back on a growth trajectory here. You know, we'd love to see some additional hub service. That's a goal that we have as an airport from one of our legacy carriers. And we really want all of the service to be on a sustainable path as well. So we're happy to see growth in the schedule so far, and we're optimistic that that will hold throughout the year. Any questions?
I don't think so, Angela. Thank you very much for that robust report.
You're welcome.
I hope you get to feeling better.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a finance report from Sarah Mangi up next.
Oh. Well, I got to up the best slide again with another number here. So our 33rd consecutive month in a row of year-over-year employment growth. On the load factor line, that dark orange line at the top, we did see that dip just a little bit, but I think that's also not unusual or unexpected, as Angela mentioned, with that capacity growth, that we see those load factors dip a little bit as there's more seats available, but still extremely strong. In your financial packet, just wanted to highlight, with the July fire activity and those record diversion landings that we talked about in our last meeting, we really saw that revenue number jump up. Non-aeronautical revenue is now exceeding budget by $200,000, but aeronautical revenue, which was lagging behind a little bit and was kind of balancing out with our additional passengers and additional parking revenue, we were kind of behind in that airline. That has really been brought up to being meeting budget right now. Fuel tax, fuel flowage, all of those components. We are still $334,000 under budget in operating revenues. Ben is working hard to close that gap, unfortunately. A little bit of that really is just due to timing. We have some projects that are coming up, but compensation is still one of the largest deficits that we have in budget. We will close that gap a little bit, but not completely. We do anticipate still be under budget in those areas. Does anybody have any questions on July as well? When we look at the balance sheet, again, really our main fluctuations are in that cash, the grants receivable and our accounts payable for capital projects. The total payable balance outstanding for capital projects went from about $9 million outstanding at the end of June to six, mostly just due to the timing of when we're getting those payments out the door. And you saw that corresponding decrease in current assets. So still holding strong with over 1,000 days cash on hand and a strong current ratio, but just seeing the movement in those accounts payable items. We are working right now with Jeremy and his team on one of the Kelly Trucking grants and getting retainage relief on a big component of work that they've been working on. So we will see some of that capital payable go down. As many of you probably know from construction projects, we do hold a portion back time through retainage. That balance will grow throughout the year typically as those projects are growing up until completion. So we will have that release. That won't probably happen until September, early October, just depending on when we finalize advertisement of those payments. But we will start to see that drop just a little bit as we release retainage on projects as well. And that's all I had for you, unless anyone had any questions in the packet. You'll get to hear from me more next month. I'll kick it over to Colin first for the project update, and then we have Rebecca on the line, so I'll do some terminal.
Awesome.
One second, Colin.
It's pretty short and sweet, and hopefully it's very familiar. There's really two big blocks. Thanks, sir. Two big blocks left. The blue block, which is the paving and nav aid, remaining coordination and paving, and then the runway conversion, the existing runway conversion to a new parallel taxiway that's shown in orange and all the associated loose ends. You see. That's currently, based on the funding plan we've talked about with the FAA, that's planned on being funded through 2030. You advance, please. Okay. So what that looks like when we break it down, that blue packet, the paving itself, it's really two parts. The green, that's the subbase, that's planned on being funded in 24 and 25, and then the blue, which is the surface and nav aids, that's 26, 27, and 28. Advance again, please. We have, as of between last board meeting and now, we have signed grants for 85 and 86, which finish the green subbase package that's now funded, and then 87 and 88, which gets the reimbursable agreement together and the design for the surface. We are hopeful, very optimistic, that there will be some amount of end-of-year funding that will come through as AIP 89, which will allow us to advance beyond what we've talked about so far, so into that 26, 27, 28 work. That's great. I guess last update on that before we hop over is we are meeting later this month with the FAA to do our annual CIP update, where we sit down with CDOT and the FAA to talk about, you know, any re-racking that we need to do that falls out from that end of year money.
Before you move on,
yeah,
I just learned
that the numbers that fall after the AIP are the numbers of grant this airport has specifically received from that pot of money. So we're talking about grant number potentially 89 in the history of the AIP program for the airport, and that is a lot of grants compared to other airports.
You don't happen to remember, Sarah, what we started with the runway program, do you? I feel like it was
54.
I was going to say, I was thinking 50s. Yeah, 50s or 60s.
Yeah, just close. Since 2018. Actually, one of those might have been in 2017. It was a design grant.
So
yeah.
52 was in 17. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty uncommon to get 5 grants at a non-hub airport in here, especially with the magnitude that these are. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
Colin, you mentioned that one of these grants was for the pavement design.
Correct.
But we authorized advance for that to be funded here for reimbursement.
That's correct. Okay. Yes. And so,
is that active right now, runway design?
Yes, it is. It's ongoing. And we are targeting basically the end of February, early March to take that to bid. And so part of that potential 89, I mean, that's what we went and talked to the FAA about, is we just said, hey, look, we all know what this program is. We've all been talking about it. There's a design package underway for multi-year funding, which is what we did last time. They were really happy with how that performed. And so, you know, we don't have bids in hand. I mean, so for them to give us this end of year money is a real, I mean, it shows trust. That's uncommon. They typically want to see bids in hand. So they know that you're not going to ask for money that you can't use, but I think we built and established that trust, and so they're willing to do that, and it's just a large amount of money. So
well, anything we can do as a board to help you guys advance this project,
I think
you're happy to do it.
They've done it. You guys have done it multiple times. I mean, I think we've came now 3 times and said, hey, can you pre-fund something, and it's always been a yes, and that's set us up to be able to capture this money.
Thank you.
And then the parking update. No big update here. Everything's on track. November 18th opening, just in time for Thanksgiving. So now it may be a little unlit. We're working through how to get lighting out there to make sure it's not unlit. So it won't have permanent lights. There will be lights, though. We're not going to have people walking around in the dark. We're figuring that out. They'll do the power to the lot itself, but and they're not the hang up. It's just the light poles that we need are back ordered. Everything's kind of slow these days on equipment. So working on a temporary solution. So hand it over to Rebecca.
Any other questions for Colin? Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, over the last few months, we've had 2 categories here. We've had active projects and upcoming projects. And I am very happy to add a 3rd category of almost complete projects. So we are just wrapping up the passenger boarding bridge replacement, as well as the basement IT consolidation. Next slide shows a few photos of the passenger boarding bridges. So the boarding bridge at Gate 2 was handed over to the airport a few weeks ago, and they've been operating out of that. And then Gate 4 boarding bridge was just handed over this last week. We were up there and did a site walk, and we're just wrapping up the final punch list items. And that project will be substantially complete within a few weeks. So it's exciting. And the basement. Yes. The basement is also almost substantially complete. So this is just some additional storage room and then an IT locker space that's going to be serving the airport as well as the airlines. That photo that has the kind of wire mesh partitions, each airline has a secure zone where their technology rack will be, and then Sequence will start running lines from that location to the ATOs as well as the gate agent desks. So this will be operational soon, but the construction part of it is essentially complete. And ongoing, I'm sure you've seen this if you've been in the hold rooms, the interior refresh of all the hold rooms is ongoing. We've got some new tile base going in, and the carpet is just going in as well. I saw some photos. It looks really good. It's really bright and fresh. Really excited to see it complete. The goal is for this entire project to be complete by Thanksgiving. And that will be new gate agent desks, new carpet and finishes. The bench will get redone, and new furniture installed as well.
And Rebecca, we're also hoping to have the signage, the interior signage done by Thanksgiving as well. So
yes,
the list of things that we want to have done by Thanksgiving is scary long, but we're full of hope.
Perfect transition to the next slide. The signage and wayfinding replacement is also planned to be done before Thanksgiving. We just received the shop drawings from the fabricator, so we're reviewing those now. Probably take a week or so to review, and then they'll be in fabrication and installed before Thanksgiving is the goal. The air traffic control tower is still a planned project. We are awaiting some designations from the FAA. So it is, design is done, it's teed up, ready to go. So that replacement of the roof and mechanical systems will hopefully happen sometime late fall into the winter. And I believe that is the summary of all the ongoing, almost complete, and upcoming projects. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited to see the inside of that terminal, the beautiful carpet that's been picked out.
Yeah, we're excited. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. Any other business?
I just wanted to say that if any commissioners would like to go look at, you know, how things are looking on the other side of the terminal, staff's always available to take them over. And depending on where things are at for our next board meeting, we may just plan to take the board over there if there's time.
Yeah. Lots of heads nodding, Angela. We would love that. Wonderful. Okay. Then I see that we have exec at 12:30. It's 12:15. Maybe we'll try and reach out and see if Laura Balzer can join us a little bit earlier. We'll take a motion to go into executive session, but I think we'll plan to be back in this room and kick it off. 12:30 firm, but we'll try and get it at 12:20 so you can use the restroom and grab another piece of pizza. May I have a motion to go into executive session?
I should move. Second.
I think we have to read on this one. We need to read the whole thing, actually. Not to speak for Dan, but I'll be the bad guy.
We've been told enough.
Yes, please.
Thank you, good sir.
I move to go into executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute Section 24-6-402-4F, specifically including the Chief Executive Officer's employment contract and compensation. Second.
Thank you, commissioners. May I get all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're going to head into executive session as soon as 12:20, so grab some pizza. Thank you all for being here today. I'm going to turn this off.